This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, when I say it's wonderful, it is wonderful to have Stu Larson in the studio. Hello.
Hi, Erin.
I was thinking about you the other day, actually.
Aww.
I was like, what's happened to Stu? I haven't caught up with him for a while.
It's been a while.
And it was kind of like an out-of-the-blue thing that you're heading to Sydney.
It's all happening. We're here.
And here you are. How have you been?
Very good. There's been lots happening in the last 12 months or so.
I was going to ask you a very open question. How's 09 been?
09, it's been amazing. It's been a little bit intense in some ways. I travelled a lot last year and then trying to fit somewhat back into some form of normality. It's been an interesting process. Yeah.
Do you feel normal?
Yes and no.
But 09, like, what have some of the highlights been? Because I've kind of followed you a little bit on Facebook and that kind of thing, and you've been heading to Japan and New Zealand for Parachute, was it?
Yeah, I played at Parachute earlier in the year.
What's that like? That's a huge festival,
it
isn't it?
It's pretty massive. It's quite a unique thing. Just lots and thousands of people constantly surrounded by people at this festival. Really cool bands and really cool atmosphere over there. And it's a cool... The camp is like camp right next to the main stage and all that kind of thing. So it's everyone's amongst it for the whole weekend. It's a really good festival, yeah. So I've been back to New Zealand a few times since then for other little random gigs on weekends and found some cheap flights to Japan, went over there and stayed for a week and ended up playing in a school and a church over there. So
great.
Pretty random things.
I love it.
Yeah.
With Japan, was there a time when you were kind of stretched for funds to get over there and you were trying to... Because I just remember vaguely, like, I need to sell, like, at least one more album or something.
Getting over there was fine.
Okay.
Getting back was the issue.
Really?
Because we bought flights to come in and out of Tokyo and we caught the train to Osaka and I pretty much ran out of money in Osaka. So we had to get back to Tokyo to fly out.
Oh.
And it was like $160 or something to get back. And I didn't have any of that. So I had to sell like 16 CDs or something that day to have enough money to make it back to fly out.
And you did it?
We sold 12 and then a generous friend kind of chipped in the rest. So,
oh, yeah. It's good to have generous friends. Talking about generous friends, you actually have... Your fans are quite generous.
Yes. I am discovering that more and more as time goes on. There was a... I've been borrowing a guitar for the last couple of years and really needed a new one and put the word out there that that's what was happening and had lots of people just throw money towards the new guitar fund. So I have a new guitar of my own now, which is amazing. Well, owned by me and the fans as well. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it's because you give us the music. We love it and so we give back.
That's cool. I like to look at it that way.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It feels so good, yeah, to have that support and have a new guitar to be able to play using for the first time in the next couple of weeks, actually, so it's good.
What type of guitar is it for those who are kind of like, ooh, new guitar, hey?
It's a Martin OM28V, if that means anything to people.
See my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're wide.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have like a Fender acoustic.
I don't really know guitars either, but...
Oh, yeah. Good.
Just know that the Martin looked and sounded good, so I bought it.
You know how to play it, though.
Sometimes.
Mm. Have you heard Newton Faulkner playing?
I've heard a song of his, I think. Oh, yeah.
He does the whole, like, little slap thing as well.
He's a bit John Butler-ish. Is that right to assume that?
In the hair department, yeah, especially. Okay. He's got massive red dreads.
But not in the music department?
Music a little bit.
A little bit, okay.
But, yeah.
That's what I've heard. I'll have to check him out.
Would you ever think of getting massive long dreads just for fun?
No, definitely not.
Actually, I don't see you as a wild hair person.
I don't think my hair's going to grow much more. As you know, as you get older, men kind of, start to go bald. I'm a bit scared about that.
Are you?
Yeah, I am, actually.
You're looking all right at the moment. It's
thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Erin. Don't look too closely.
But see, the wonderful thing about your kind of genre of music, I think you can certainly get away with hats.
Yeah, that's true. I have thought about the hat thing. I don't want to have to resort to hats.
Oh, really?
If I go bald, I just want to go bald, you know?
No.
Don't want to have to cover it up. We'll see what happens at the time.
Very good. But the guitar, do you have a name for it? Do you name a guitar? Well, I know you name cars, but...
I put this out on Facebook to come up with a name for the guitar because I haven't found a name, haven't thought of a name, and there's lots of suggestions that came through, but nothing that really clicks with the guitar, so...
Okay.
You know, if you come up with an idea, let me know.
Speaking about ideas, I definitely love, like, just your interaction with your fans via, you know, Facebook and that kind of thing like that. You put it out there. I want pictures of Black Trees as your EP is The Black Tree.
Yes.
Have you gotten lots of pictures?
Not lots. I've got a few. And there's some that are, like, identical to the Black Tree picture that we've got.
Oh, really?
And some of them are like the interpretations of another style or that sort of thing. So it's been a bit varied. I like it. Mm. Hopefully one day we'll put them all together into some big collage.
What does the black tree represent?
Well,
it's such a, it's got such a, I don't know, there's something meaty about it, but I can't really put my finger on it.
I guess in the song, The Black Tree, it represents that place of comfort that we may have experienced at an early age or something, and it may have drifted away from that, but it's still this secure image in our heads that we can go back to this place. So it's just that place of comfort. And the tree, the picture of the tree that I found was actually out in the middle of Northern Territory when I was traveling around last year.
Right.
Just saw this tree. Camera had broken and got it on my little phone camera thing, which isn't ideal, but that's the black tree.
Very cool. And have you been writing a lot of new music?
A little bit. The new guitar is inspiring.
Really?
Yeah. So it sounds really nice and makes me want to write new songs. So.
And where are you writing these new songs?
You
recently performed with Plagiarize, and they're very much a bedroom band.
Mm.
Like, they do it all in their bedroom,
that's
which
it.
Conjures up a very interesting image, but, like, for some reason it just makes me think of kind of sweaty guys. I don't know. But for you, where do you find the most inspirational place?
That's a really good question, and I don't think I've found that place again at the moment since I've... Well, like, when I was traveling, it was you find different places and you connect with different places in different ways. And at the moment, I just kind of sit in my lounge room on my old school couch and write away and play away. But I like trying out new places and to try and find that place. Mm-hmm. I really want to find a place that I can go back to all the time.
Mm.
I reckon that'd be so cool. Like somewhere outside, somewhere where there's no one else around, but you're out in the open. So
yeah,
I'll find it one day.
Do songs come easy to you, or is it a bit of a stretch sometimes?
It's a bit of both. I think when you're trying to write a song, it usually takes a bit of time.
Mm.
But if you just sit down to muck around or whatever, sometimes the song just appears and it comes within the length of the song kind of thing. You just write it as you sing it. So,
yeah
it varies. Yeah.
Your music career, do you see it as kind of like a year-by-year process at the moment? Like, do you have a five-year plan? Stu Larson, are you a five-year plan kind of guy?
Not really. I kind of take it as it comes at the moment. I'm starting to think a little bit more about where things need to be going.
Mm.
But yeah, I kind of just have enjoyed taking opportunities as they've come and being free in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of opportunities are you getting that you're kind of going, yeah, this is going well?
I guess playing in different places. Like when I started out, I was just playing in my little hometown of Toowoomba.
Mm.
And now I'm in Sydney and I to play a few shows and heading over to Perth at the end of the year and different things, heading to New Zealand all the time. So be able to fly to other places and play some shows to people that know your music and like your music.
Mm.
That's the ideal, you know. I want that to keep happening, so got to grow that in every way I can.
Mm. And how have people been reacting to your music? Are they still loving it?
Yeah, it's been really good. I was in Melbourne recently and played a show there, and it was a bit of a last-minute kind of thing, and some people had found my music online somewhere and come along and stuff like that, when there's no real personal connection through another band or another person.
Mm.
That they just come across your music somehow and then show up at your gigs and buy your CDs and stuff. It's really cool. So people are still interacting and embracing it. So
I really do you think you are Australia's best kept secret?
Oh, really?
I think you're still a secret.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you? Do you ever think that you would be ambitious enough to kind of maybe be less of a secret and just kind of push your music a bit more past the kind of independent point?
I don't know. I feel real comfortable in what I do.
Mm.
and the level that it's at. Obviously, we most of the time we all kind of want that next step or the next level.
Mm.
And that's what I'm starting to think about. But I really honestly love what I do and go and play the shows to the people that come along kind of thing. So I don't mind being a bit of a secret for some length of time. But we'll see in the next few years, I guess.
It's funny when you're a fan of The Secret. Like, and I think we've all had this with bands before when you're kind of like, oh, I've discovered them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you haven't really. Like, you've just, you know, you're just one of the few kind of thing like that. And then when they get, like, this commercial success, it's like, you've changed.
Yeah.
And you've changed.
It does change. It changes your perception of the band.
Mm. Being in that kind of scene, is there anyone at the moment that you're kind of going, wow, these guys are pretty amazing?
There's some guys in the States and the UK that I really like.
Mm.
Ray LaMontagne is a...
I just like the name.
Yeah. He's so cool. He is the coolest, probably.
Mm.
There's another guy I've been listening to lately. Jonathan Foreman. You might have heard of him.
John Foreman?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know him? The American one, not the Australian
one. Oh, no, as in Switchfoot John Foreman?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, good.
Because there is another John Foreman.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure that's a common name.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's got some pretty amazing music.
He's cool.
Lydia Carl.
Yeah.
Love of life. Your
yes.
life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not just, I'm sure she loves life.
She does.
That's good. You've been collaborating music with her as well. Do you still enjoy that?
Love it, yeah. I think that's the ideal for me, is just playing music with her, writing songs together and singing songs together. I love it. It's fun.
I've never met Lydia, but I've heard her songs with you, and it's beautiful.
Soon she'll come to Sydney and we'll play a show together, and we'll come and visit you as well.
Oh, that'd be lovely. But she's been recording as well in New Zealand, was that right?
Yeah, she's doing some great stuff in New Zealand. Mr. Neil Finn heard her stuff and gave her some free time in his studio. And
that's kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, taking her under his wing. And there's some other guys in a band that are in like really top New Zealand bands, and got a good manager now who's doing some great stuff for us. So in New Zealand, she's doing some really good things, and she's going to come over here and do the same, hopefully.
It's very exciting. Yeah. That you can kind of. Do you think you're each other's muses? Muse?
I think so. I think it's the way it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, I love it. Sorry, it's the sentimental side of me that's kind of like, oh. They should make a movie about it.
Well, it's funny. A lot of people have seen Once. There's a movie called Once, which is about singer-songwriters. And so many people have sent like MySpace messages and Facebook things saying, we just saw this movie. It's pretty much about you and Lydia.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you actually seen the movie yet?
I have.
Oh, yeah. And?
Yeah, it's got some elements there, definitely.
Oh, that's really cool. What is kind of like the biggest struggle being an independent artist that you're finding?
Biggest struggle. I don't know if there are struggles, or if maybe there are, but I just don't see them as big struggles. I guess maybe awareness and marketing, that kind of thing. Obviously, sing solo artist, small budget, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You haven't got the big money to get your name out across everywhere. But in saying that, it's maybe not even necessary. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, and things keep happening. And yeah, so I don't really know if there are major struggles.
It's good. I think, yeah, and I think if you love what you're doing enough, then the struggles won't seem like struggles. They'll be kind of part of it.
Yeah, it's just part of the journey.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we've got a new EP out, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
But is there a new album on the horizon for maybe 2010?
2010.
I was going to say 10. It just sounds weird for 10.
For 10.
When you say 09, it kind
makes sense.
Yeah.
What are we going to say? Something's... it could be 010, like, or could it be? 010.
Yeah, maybe.
2010.
What is 10?
10.
It just sounds weird.
Could we talk about anything, though?
2010, 10, I think.
2010. It's too long. It needs to be an abbreviation.
It's been hard.
Shorter.
Even this whole decade's been hard. Like, we've all been like, do we say noughties or do we say the zeros?
Yeah.
We've all kind of like,
It's
the
true.
The millennium.
Yeah, no, I just
That's like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Can't just say it's the first 10.
True.
Sorry, I'm just confusing you now.
Me too. What? I don't know.
You're doing the whole Twitter thing at the moment.
Love it. I'm into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's, yeah.
No, it is good for artists, actually.
Yeah, it's good. I want a couple more followers, though, because it's good to interact with people, but you keep interacting with the same people. I've been interacting with some new people today. It's just been really fun. On the flight down, I've made some new friends. So
cool.
Twitter is my friend. It's not the new Facebook, though, so don't get too concerned.
Okay, that's good to hear. I think you can tell a lot about an artist in what song they would actually cover. If you could cover any song, what would it be?
Any song. The songs I have covered, which I've really wanted to, but I can't think of any that I want to cover. I've covered Fix You by Coldplay.
Okay.
Love it.
How good is that?
It's one of my favourite songs.
Do you think that, like, do you feel inspired to run as... Chris Martin did during the bushfire appeal thing, and he sang that song and then he just ran out into the crowd and he just started running with his arms kind of going side to side. Do you think that song does inspire that move?
I think so. I mean, if you're playing that song with just an acoustic guitar, it's probably a little bit different vibe.
Mm.
But if you've got that big band behind you, man, you're going to want to do that kind of thing.
No, I really would love like a small gig of yours if you just started running through everyone just doing that. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Could be fairly awkward.
Chris Martin did it.
Yeah.
Doing it too.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll be a really small gig with just two or three people, so it's not as widespread.
Mm. Other songs you've covered?
Mr. Brightside.
Oh, yes.
Killers.
That's right.
It's another favourite of mine. don't really know why I did it initially. I was just testing out my new little digital camera and videoed it and put it on YouTube. And it was only supposed to be there for a day, but it kind of stayed there. And people, some people like it, some people hate it, but I just left it there anyway.
Do you think new technology like MySpace, Facebook, Twitter has really helped you and your career?
Definitely. Like if we think like 10 years ago when that stuff didn't exist, how were people hearing music? It was just by radio and CDs and it would be a confined kind of audience. And now you can like sell CDs via the website and via iTunes across the world, you know, and you couldn't do that before. It wouldn't happen before for an artist like myself. So it's opened everything up.
Do you think it's the dawn of the independent artist?
Yeah, I think it's been happening for a few years. So it's going to be interesting to see the next phase, to see where things shift to.
Yeah. Well, someone like Newton Faulkner, for instance, he was very similar to yourself in terms of like, you know, doing these kind of gigs and then this one gig just kind of went off and then virally it just went nuts. Yeah. And you know.
That's pretty cool.
Could be you.
Maybe. We'll see.
Sydney, going to be back for Black Stump.
Yes, October.
Very excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you like the new Black Stump venue?
I haven't got myself attached to it yet.
Yeah.
Because my first Black Stump was the last one at the old venue, and I fell in love with it. So
just the dirt up the nose. I mean,
and that image in my head is Black Stump to me. So I've got to kind of get away from that and reattach myself with the new Black Stump.
Yeah.
So that's what this year will be for me.
The whole equine feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It does feel very pristine at times. Just horses.
Horses. Were the horses there,
though? No, I don't think the horses were there, but the fields were.
Maybe we should bring some horses in this year.
I just so pictured you, you know, with your acoustic guitar and a horse just standing behind you.
Part of the show. Yeah. You can do that.
I find you to be a very artistic kind of person in terms of like, you know, even on your MySpace, you've had collages and stuff like that. Do you think you would do a bit of stage kind of artistic things with your music as well?
I think I'd like to. I think I get a bit more nervous when it's like happening live, that kind of thing. And I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of a secure thing to do it on MySpace. Maybe that's where it comes out a bit easier. Yeah.
Indeed.
But one day, Aaron, I will.
Yeah. Performance art.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Stu Lesson, so wonderful to have you drop by.
It's been good.
I always love having a chat.
Yeah,
having
it's been a good chat.
And, of course, you can see Stu performing at Black Stump. And, of course, you have been popping down to Sydney a few times this year. So
every now and then.
MySpace is the place to keep in touch.
That's it.
Thank you, Stu.
Thanks, Aaron. Bye.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.